Welcome back to Never Found, Never Forgotten. I'm your host, Melanie. I accidentally took last week off. I'm sorry about that. I was traveling. I didn't have a podcast in the bank. Normally, I have at least a couple episodes recorded, at least a few edited, ready to go. I was slacking. I'm slacking. That's all I can say. I'm sorry. But here I am, back. Took a week off. This week, I'm going to tell you a story that really haunted me. Back in season two, I told you about the story of Daniel Ewan, a young man who disappeared from a school for troubled teens. And this case reminded me so much of that. In this case, a 15-year-old boy, Robert Pilson Rahier, disappears from a treatment center after telling his mom that he needs to talk to her. Life rule. Tell people your secrets. Don't say it's gotta wait. Just tell people your secrets. People always go missing before they can tell their secrets. So, Robert was 4 years old when his mom, Jean, married a man named Gerald Rahier. Robert and Gerald were close, and Gerald taught Robert how to ride a bike. He shared his love of the outdoors with him. And Gerald and Jean went on to have a son together named Gerald Jr. But Gerald suffered from health issues and PTSD from his time in Vietnam. Gerald was an air traffic controller for the U.S. Army. And while at a non-commissioned officers club, the Viet Cong attacked the building. And this left Gerald with a severed spinal cord. He was confined to a wheelchair, and he was eventually awarded a Purple Heart, which is given to military personnel who are wounded or killed during their military service. His injuries also left him with these painful and violent muscle spasms. Between the untreated PTSD and the physical pain that he was in, Gerald struggled daily. In 1982, the family was in the process of moving into a new home, and Gerald was back at the old house directing movers there, and Jean was at the new house, and Gerald was having a really bad day, and he was really angry that he couldn't help. He wasn't physically able to help. And I can't really imagine that feeling of helplessness and being deprived of the independence when suddenly you're injured and confined to a wheelchair. And so Jean knew that he was having a bad day. She wanted to check in on him, and she decided to call the old house. When Gerald didn't answer, Jean got a really bad feeling. And she thought, though, that maybe he had one of his muscle spasms, and that caused him to fall out of his chair or something. So Jean and the kids drove over to the old house. And Robert, who was just 7 years old at the time, as soon as the car was stopped, he ran into the house. But he came out moments later. His face was pale. He was stricken. And he just said, "Dad is covered in blood." Jean ran inside and found that Gerald had shot himself in the head, ending his life only minutes earlier. So Robert, of course, was so traumatized, and I cannot even imagine as a mom how you would react. And then poor Robert, just 7 years old, seeing that. And Robert became withdrawn. He began experiencing some emotional outbursts and behavioral problems. He was also diagnosed with some learning disabilities. And so because of this, he was placed in a special education class. In 1986, the family moved to Colorado. And in 1989, Jean found Robert in his bedroom holding a razor blade and crying. And he later admitted to Jean that he blamed himself for Gerald's suicide because he had been misbehaving earlier that day. He thought it was his fault. And I think kids do this a lot. They blame themselves for what their parents go through, whether it's divorce or just even bad days. Sometimes kids will take the blame, and that's really hard. But Jean did everything right, and she immediately sought the help of a therapist. And she also learned that Robert was being bullied at school. Around the same time, he got into a fight at school, and he hit another student, breaking the student's glasses. And it was this event that was the catalyst for him being sent to Cheyenne Mesa, which is a day program and residential treatment program for adolescents with psychiatric and behavioral issues. Robert initially spent a few months at the facility, but when he returned home, Jean noticed that her son's behavior was even worse than before, and the authorities pretty much threatened her. They gave her an ultimatum. You either place him in the facility long term, or you're going to lose custody of him. And so Jean did the only thing that she could do in that situation, and she placed him in Cheyenne Mesa long term. So in June of 1990, Robert returned to Cheyenne Mesa. And there, Robert spoke to his mom on the phone every day. On the morning of July 6th, Robert called and he said that he needed to talk to her, and he insinuated that something was wrong, but he couldn't tell her over the phone because their phone calls were monitored. Jean told Robert, "Listen, just hold tight. I'll be right there." She immediately hung up with Robert and called Cheyenne Mesa to arrange a visit. And I'm not talking about like immediately, like sometimes we say immediately, but we don't really mean immediately. Like, she hung up and immediately called back. It wasn't like she hung up and like 20 minutes later called Cheyenne Mesa. She hung up with Robert and immediately called the office. And she was really confused because she was told that Robert was on an outing and she would have to wait till he returned to arrange the visitation. But she had just spoken to Robert and now they were claiming he was on an outing. But Jean did the only thing that she could do, and she waited. Later that afternoon, she received a call from Cheyenne Mesa, an employee there. But it wasn't to arrange the visit. It was to tell her that Robert had run away while on the outing. And Jean was stunned. She had just spoken to Robert, and she knew that he wouldn't run away. He knew that she was on her way to come see him, and that no matter what was wrong, they would work through it. They had always had a close relationship. Despite all the problems, he could talk to his mom freely. He knew that she was on her way to him. He wouldn't run away. One employee at Cheyenne Mesa claimed to have seen Robert on facility grounds lying in the middle of a field around 8:45 a.m. on July 6th. A different employee claims to have seen him leaving the facility around that same exact time. This employee said that they didn't stop Robert because he was 5'9", 180 pounds, and Robert was, quote unquote, too big to stop or confront. And one article I read said that this same employee made a comment that when talking to police, quote, "Maybe he didn't make it, maybe he's dead," end quote. It's important to note here that 8:45 a.m. is the exact time that Robert was on the phone with his mother. So he was neither lying in a field, nor was he leaving the facility. Jean was told by Cheyenne Mesa staff that when Robert was last seen, he was wearing a blue plaid shirt and black jeans. But just weeks after Robert vanished, Jean received his belongings, and included in those belongings were the blue plaid shirt and the black jeans. Also included in the belongings were the two pairs of shoes that Robert had taken with him to Cheyenne Mesa. And Jean said that he would not leave without his shoes because he hated to be barefoot. Listen, I totally understand that. I hate to be barefoot too. So I would never leave anywhere without my shoes too. So 3 days, just 3 days after Robert's disappearance, Cheyenne Mesa threatened to file a harassment charge against Jean if she didn't stop calling. They claimed that Robert was no longer their responsibility. So this really got my blood just boiling. Jean is in full-on mama bear mode. And it's been 3 freaking days. And her son went missing while on their watch. It is their responsibility. He is their responsibility. And she is going to call there as much as she friggin' wants. And they are going to give her answers. But this wasn't the only thing that raised red flags or made Jean suspicious. About a week before Robert went missing, he was home for a weekend visit. And Jean was washing his laundry. And she noticed what appeared to be blood in his underwear. And at the time, she didn't really think too much of it. But then, after having that phone conversation where he said that he had something to tell her, and then being missing, Jean believes that Robert may have been being sexually abused at the treatment facility. And that's what he wanted to tell her. In 1997, Cheyenne Mesa closed due to quote-unquote financial insolvency. Robert's case was reclassified from a runaway to endangered missing a few years after he went missing. Robert is described as being a Caucasian male with brown hair and brown eyes. He was 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighed about 180 pounds at the time of his disappearance. He has a scar in the middle of his forehead, and his right arm and hand have brown discoloration from a burn he sustained in childhood. He sometimes wore glasses with silver frames and tinted lenses. Anyone with information on the disappearance of Robert Pilson Rahier can contact the Colorado Springs Police Department at 719-444-7000. That is my episode for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your continued support. We have a ton of new listeners, a ton of new people following us on social media. Be sure that you're continuing to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and thank you so much for your support. Bye.